This is class number 11 of the first semester, fall semester, of the beginning Greek course, first year Greek course in the New Testament, sponsored by the Bible for Today and Baptist Bible Seminary. This is November the 29th, 1984. It is lessons number 16 to 17 and a half, and pages 53 to 58, paragraphs 104 to 121. We'll modify this slightly according to our discussion last time. The teacher, Dr. D.A. Waite, director, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is tape number 1260/11 in the series.
Dear Lord, we thank Thee for this evening. We thank Thee for these who have gathered to study Thy Word in the Greek language and this course in Greek. We pray for Thy guidance upon us. Thank You for Thy book. Thank You for the preserving of this English Bible we have in our English language, but especially we thank Thee, Lord, for preserving the Greek Bible and the Greek language and the words, the very words that Thou hast used. And so we ask for help and assistance. Bless those who are away from us this evening. Be with Manny and Lou, who's traveling here, and help these men now who are here as they take these tests. And thank You for the good vacation and the change that we've had this last week. And we pray now that we may continue learning for the sake of eternity. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
All right, we have tonight lessons 16 and 17 and a half, but we modified that somewhat. Is that correct? If you could refresh my memory as to the things that we decided upon, and it was vocabulary, lesson 16, was it? And glossa, and prophetes. And is that it?
All lesson 16, basically.
All lesson 16. We didn't do 17 vocabulary or the adjectives. That was going to be taken up next time. Is that right?
Right.
All right. So we just have to look over the vocabulary and the two the questions, right? The tongue is what? The tongue.
Glossa.
All right. Hey, glossa. Don't forget the article. Hey, glossa. The glory.
Doxa.
Hey, doxa, all right, doxa. Hey, doxa, the glory of the sea.
Hey, thalassa.
Thalassa, all right, hey, thalassa. In Attic and Ionic and Doric Greek, the classical Greek, that's a tau, thalata. So you see in there sometimes, thalata, thalassa. The disciple is what?
Homathetes.
All right, my daughter's here and our two grandchildren. You'll have to meet them sometime at some appropriate point. Maybe they can come in and visit. The prophet is what?
Prophetes,
right. The promise. The promise? Evangelia, how the promise of the head.
You
want to meet the people, Diane? Come and say hello to Diane Crosby. And this is Larry Waite, that's another Waite. Isn't that something? This is Megan Crosby, and that's Kristen Crosby. And this is Mr. Steve Schmidt, and this is Phil Piccolo.
We got
two more in the class. One is, I guess, out. Manny won't be here tonight. And the other, Lou, I'm not sure whether he'll be here either. So normally I have five. She's visiting from Richmond, Virginia for us, and with us. So we'll see you then. No problem. We can compete. Yeah. All right. We got to Hey Evangelia. All right, the promise. The head, we got against that. Hey Kephale. All right, the house.
Hey Oikia.
We had Ha Oikos, I guess, before, didn't we? But here's Hey Oikia. The parable.
Hey Parabole.
Hey Parabole. Hey Parabole. The synagogue.
Hey Synagogue.
The Ypsilon. The joy. Hei chara. And then the hour.
Hei chora.
Don't forget the rough breathing on the chora. Any questions on the vocabulary? Hei chora. Any Yoda subscripts that anybody could be trouble with? No, not me. All right, let's go then to the view of hei glossa, the tongue. Starting with the article right along with it. Te glosan, and then glosa, the plural. Hai glosai, ton gloson, tais glosais, and glosai. Any questions on that one?
What was the, was it tais?
Tais glosais, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For the, you mean for the singular?
And how about the accusative and the plural?
Accusative plural would be tas. Tau, alpha, stigma.
Mm-hmm.
Tau, okay. Glossa.
Now those never change the articles.
No, the articles you got them all. Masculine, feminine, and neuter. Any other questions on those? All right, let's look at the ha prophetes, all right? This is the masculine now. Hey, glossa was the feminine. So let's not get confused on this. And by the way, ha prophetes is conjugated, or declined rather, the same as ha prophetes. So it is the same ending, the same type of thing. All right, let's go with ha prophetes. Ha prophetes, tu prophetu, to prophete. Now wait a minute, what did any your subscription, any of these?
Yeah.
All right, and on the o to omega your subscription, right? Instrumental. To prophete, accusative, ton prophete, and propheta, and the plural, hoi propheta, ton propheton, tois prophetais, tous prophetas, and propheta. All right, so these are masculine and neuter in the article, rather, and the actual word itself looks a little bit feminine, doesn't it, in a certain area?
Mostly feminine,
except the genitive and ablative. Any questions on that? All right, if not, let's get out a paper and pencil. We'll take a test there. Probably best if we mark out these two first, hey glossa and ha prophetes, then I'll give you the vocabulary after that. And then these 7 and 7, 14. I'm going to have double, I guess. It'd be about 15 lines. You skip down about 15 lines. All right, ready? Get the hey glossa, gamma, lambda. Lambda, omega, sigma, alpha. He glossa. And then ha prophetes, ha, then te, rho, omicron, phi, eta, tau, eta, sigma. Prophetes, ha prophetes. And we'll count the article as well as the actual substantive. All right, now let's go for our vocabulary. We have 12 words. Number one is the hour. Be sure to give the article with it. That'll be all part of the word. Number two, the tongue. Number three, the joy. Number four, the glory. Number five, the synagogue. Number six, the sea. Number seven, the parable. Number eight, the disciple. Number nine, the house, at least one of the words for house. Number ten, the prophet. Number ten, that was the prophet. Number 11, the head. Number 12, the promise. Any questions on any of those 12? All right, if not, go right ahead and let me know when you're ready.
We have a class for Jordan's class on weddings.
On weddings.
We're just going to stick it in there, but it came a little late.
Oh, it couldn't. Should
put it in the folder?
It's kind of hard to do.
Fatten it up a little bit, you know?
Okay, let's see. We'll get our workout for tonight then. You got your papers? Let me pass these papers on.
I can't believe this book is $8.
I can't even. It's a tiny little book. It's not worth the powder bought up.
It has funerals, weddings, and things like that.
You know, it's one of those little books the Lutherans bring them when they do funerals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's the Baptist Lutheran thing. Yeah, it may have been even more of a time. I don't know. Did we take you up for some while?
Probably did.
Yeah, I don't know. But they, you know, it's everything's high. It's just a small little book, but maybe you could pass those out. Manny's not here, but do you see him at all or not?
No. Have you seen him? This is the only place I see him.
You don't see him, will you? Will you see him more? Maybe you give him his paper back, maybe. All right, do I have your papers up for tonight? I don't want to get them confused here. Let's see, I got, there's no name on this one here.
That's tonight?
Yeah,
that's me.
That's you, okay.
No name in the class.
You know what that is in Greek, don't you?
Did you want?
Boutis. Oh, all right. You got that.
No, I mean, that was.
Oh, I see.
That was this stuff here.
Well, that was at the bottom. Yeah, I meant to keep that. Okay, thank you.
Who is Boutis mean?
Boutis, no one. See, ooh.
Is there any money
to? I think you're taking care of that. And Manny's taking care of it.
Okay.
I just kept this here, I guess, in one place.
Can I ask you a question before we start?
Mm-hmm.
I was at home over Thanksgiving, and my parents are staunch Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And they get a magazine called Catholic Digest, which I was reading through.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of interesting things in there, and I asked my parents if they would send them to me. And at first they sort of hesitate because they said, if you don't ridicule them, you know, then they'll send them to me. But at any rate, one of the articles was written by a priest who was talking about the fact that the Gospel of Matthew cannot be taken literally because it was originally compiled in Aramaic, and then from that it was written in Greek, and therefore you can't take it literally because Aramaic is a very old language and very inaccurate. And my question to you is, was Matthew ever written in Aramaic before it was written in Greek?
There's been no evidence of that at all. Steve, that's the modernist viewpoint, and apparently the Roman Catholic Church has swallowed it also, that it's written in Aramaic, and that's the thing, I believe that's the theory of Lamza, there's a Lamza Bible, I think the translation of it, from the Aramaic, or seemingly from Aramaic, and he's got this theory that he's concocted. But there's no proof. There's not a single manuscript of any of the New Testament books anywhere in Aramaic. And if it had been written originally in Aramaic, you'd think at least we'd find one scrap or portion or, you know, a little couple of sentences or page or something, but they've never found even so much as one. So it's wholly without evidence. Yes, the Lord said, Elo, Eli, Eli, Lama Sabachthani, which is, you know, in Aramaic or close to Hebrew similar.
Talitha kumi
from kum to get up, you know, rise up, which is fine. He spoke the language there of the people that understood. It's like Paul spoke in the Hebrew tongue, and you know, when he's defending himself in the book of Acts, chapter 22-26, before the multitudes. But the book itself, written in Greek, the Greek mind to spread the gospel throughout the then known Greek world, and there's no way to prove it except theory. It is a theory, that's all it is, but no proof is involved with it. And again, if they had the proof and the evidence and the facts and any originals in the Aramaic, then you could accept that, because you see, you've got some. You know, if that were the case, they would spread it on and on. And then when did they start it in Greek? And who wrote it in Greek? And so on. See, there's the question. But these are fanciful things, just like people who doubt the Johannine authorship of the Gospel of John. You know, they say that it's not the Apostle John. It's another man with the name of John, but of another century, another time. Well, where do they get that? See, there's no, that's their idea. And so again, it's a theory, but that's all. There's no proof on it.
Yeah. William Barclay mentioned mm-hmm. that about Revelation. He thought Revelation
right.
was written by a different John.
Yeah.
Also.
Barclay's a liberal.
Yeah.
He's a real bad apple. I don't know why. I don't know why the Christianity Today praises him and uses his books and advertises him and everything else. See, Barclay is not sound. He is a liberal, and there's no question about it. Yeah, a lot of these fellows. He's close, and of course, these fellows, that's why I've got to watch them very, very carefully. All these people that are praising this British TV personality, see, who's an apostate, who denies the virgin birth of Christ and the deity of Christ. Remember him? What is his name? It's written the real Jesus or something, the historical Jesus. Well, what is his name? He's a TV program he's got. Can't think of his name now, but he's written big books and so on. He doesn't believe a lot of things. I have an analysis of that fellow. If I had the catalog, which is right here among us, to think of him. I can't think of his name. The British man that wrote all these things that they praise and has articles in Christianity Today, and Billy Graham used them over at Lausanne. He spoke at Lausanne, the International Congress on World Evangelization. But it's like Barclay, so he's not. I can't think of his name. I don't know.
That Aramaic theory for Matthew, is there two theories? It could be Hebrew?
Well, Hebrew, Aramaic, very similar.
They don't know.
Aramaic, it's Aramaic. I think the theory basically is Aramaic. Uh-huh. The Aramaic script is one they used for Hebrew and the one we use today for Hebrew. That's one they brought back from the captivity, apparently, from Babylonian captivity. And so, but the languages are quite similar, not a whole lot of it. But Aramaic is what they... The usual theory is Chaldeic. Any other questions or comments on that? Okay.
Could Matthew have been written in Hebrew?
Well,
I think I heard that somewhere.
You did it? Well, they mean Aramaic. I mean, a lot of people use that interchangeably. See? Mm-hmm. And it's a language that was spoken that. That's why in the King James they say Paul beckoned to them in Acts 22, and when they heard that he could speak in the Hebrew tongue, they quieted down. See, well. The Hebrew of that particular era was the Aramaic that they'd taken in from Babylonia, but it's very similar, and I suppose I have never taken Aramaic, and I should look it over, but from all I can guess, it's something similar to Italian and Spanish, maybe, and even closer, maybe Portuguese and Spanish, possibly even closer than that. In other words, just similar roots and vocabulary. And Daniel, we're using Daniel for this quarter in our regular Baptist Press. I'm teaching that. It's interesting. I'm using my interlinear and reading and blowing it up on my blow-up machine, you know, that copy machine, and I'm really enjoying it. We take chapter one for this next Sunday. That's when we start. It's amazing. You read on through that, and boy, just about every word. I can recognize almost every word, and the thing that has helped me the most is that series of tapes that I've been going over and over and over on the vocabulary, you know, those 500 some words, frequency list 500 to 5,000, 50 to 100, in other words, 50 to 5,000 words, Hebrew verbs and nouns. I haven't still mastered all of them, you know, I mean, you just have to keep the way I'm doing it, just at my leisure. But each time more is sinking in. And then as I looked at the first chapter of Daniel, I saw that some of the words that I was seeing in that list, there they were. And that sort of drives it home when you use it, see. Now I'll go into chapter 2 next week, and chapter 3, we're taking a chapter a week, roughly. So, it's interesting. But what I'm saying is that Daniel chapter 2, verse 3, or thereabouts, on through 7 something, is all Aramaic. Mm-hmm. So I'll be reading in Aramaic. And then I'll see how similar it is to the Hebrew roots, because I know the Hebrew roots, and I don't think we're going to find too much different. They spell God a little bit different. Basically, it's Elohe versus Elohim. And different little endings, you know, but that's about the size of it.
Is your teaching Daniel, are you bringing in, like, the book of Revelation into it?
Oh, yes, the whole interchange.
That's the whole idea of it.
Yeah, premillennial view. Yeah, it's in a Sunday school, our adult Sunday school class, but you know, we have just 13 weeks to do it in, but still, it's enough because you get a chapter a week and you can get a good analysis of it. I've got an excellent teacher, an excellent quarterly writer, author. Walton is his name, I think it is, Walton. And he's over at Faith Baptist in Ankeny, Iowa. Boy, he's got alliterative outline like nobody's business. He's the best author of the Regular Baptist Press. The one last quarter in Hebrews was, I felt, very faulty as far as outline sake. I mean, such a wonderful book, you know, but he doesn't get, not only alliterations are not there, but also they're not parallelisms, you know, and even if they're not alliterative, at least you could have the parallel structure of outline. I mean, just, he misses so much. But this man, he gets all the alliterative outline, then he puts verse by verse, and he gets the verses right with it to tie in with it. And it's just a clear picture. And you ought to get that, really, at Walton. A Man for His Time or something, what it's called. But it's a real good series. But anyway, that's a false theory as far as it could have been written in Hebrew, but there's no evidence that it was. And you see, that would thwart the whole plan of God for the New Testament being something for the Greek world that was the lingua franca of the whole world at that time, and also the genius of the Greek language, as you say, can you take it literally? Can you make all the tenses and moods and everything else to walk on all fours, or can you throw it out and just say it's general like Hebrew and or Aramaic? You see, it would be general, just sort of a imperfect or perfect, and then you take your pick what it is. See? So I wouldn't agree with that. It was written for the Jews, that's right. I agree with that. Matthew principally for the Jews, but remember, the Jews knew Greek. Paul knew Greek and wrote in it and spoke in it. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, you know, the Pharisee of the Pharisees, trained in the best of all Hebrew culture, but he knew Greek like he knew Hebrew, practically. So he could write it, he could speak it, and so I think that's the answer to that. I don't know why they go after this Aramaic origin. I think it's just a luxurious theory that they like to throw out and present themselves
from literal interpretation.
That's true too. I think that's very much part of it. So, but you see, there's so much disbelief in all. They're part of everything anymore. You wonder what there is left. And if they don't believe at all, why do they even bother believing any of it? That's my feeling. You know, any of the scriptures. If they pick and choose what they will believe and what they won't believe, about who wrote what, and so on. If Paul says, I, Paul, to the church at Corinth or the church at Rome or whatever it is, and they say, well, it says Paul, but really Paul didn't write it. It's, you know, where are you going to stop doubting, see? It's one thing to say the Gospel of John was not written by the Apostle John, although the internal evidence seems to point that, you know, that's a guess on our part. It's not a for sure, but yet that's a traditional view, and I see nothing against it. The same way with the Gospel of the Revelation. There it says, I, John, was in the Isle of Patmos. Well, it's some John. Why isn't it the Apostle John? See, and so on. All the things he knows. So we have our own thoughts on that. As for authorship for Luke, you know, or Acts, rather, was it Luke? So Mark. There's nothing that proves Mark wrote Mark. It's just traditional theory and logic and reason and so on, but it's called the Gospel of Mark from early times. It's right in the book. So apparently that was the people in the early church got the point that Mark was, and they knew closer than we the reasons, and so that's why the book. So, yeah, and even in the book of Hebrews now, you look at any Textus Receptus, and you have Paul, the apostle, to the Hebrews. And of course, that's the great thing to deny the Pauline authorship of the Hebrews, you know, in the Scopus Reference Bible.
Paul to the Hebrews.
Yeah, Paul to the Hebrews. Right in the Textus Receptus, you know. You see, all these often
the manuscripts say that?
No,
those
I believe
little
so.
Cambridge Bibles, you can get them. That little Cambridge Bible at the very end in very small print says this letter was written by Timothy.
That's right, that's right. Okay. See, that's called the colophon. It's the signing off. I forget the postscript. What do they call it? There's a certain name for it. But see, here it is right here. Topros Timotheon Epistolus Deutera. That's Timothy. Let's see here, I got the Hebrews here.
It's at the end of the book, huh?
Yeah, it's the, Hey Pros Hebraeus, Epistolus Paulu, see, of Paul, to the Hebrews, Epistle of Paul. And of course, you get your footnote on the thing, naturally. Minus Pros Hebraeus and minus Paulos, E and G, Elzevir and Grisbach. See, two editors take out Paul and pros Hebraeus to the Hebrews only, Lachman, Tichendorf, Tregellis, Alfred, and Wadsworth. In other words, he's had, in other words, the West kind of heart boys take out this. See. They take out a lot of things. Let me see if they even get in the other one. Philemon. Philemon, for instance, taught Philemon, Epistle of Paul. Here it says Paul there. Well, let's see. Is there
Paul's name is mentioned in that epistle.
That's right. Plus to Apostle Paul. Plus, yeah, they don't take out, they change it here and there. But in other words, these are right in the textures. And all these what we call the postscripts, I don't know what there's a name for it. But those are in there also, like you say, to Timothy and so on. And a lot of times, those are right there in the text, the text receptus text. But a lot of Bibles don't translate those. Some Bibles do, see.
Anybody think Hebrews was written by Luke?
Oh, I'm sure there's somebody. Luke, there's somebody, okay. Apollos, and somebody.
No, because of all the doctor, you know, the medical terms of the day that seem to be in there.
They got a lot of different things on that.
And again, Luke wasn't the only doctor either in those days.
Hmm?
Then again, I wouldn't expect Luke was the only doctor around in those days.
Expecting Timothy. But some of these Bibles in the King James Bibles do.
2 Timothy, they claim, was written by Paul. Where did they get that from? I don't know.
But here, see, first, here's the postscript. It's right in the Greek text. See, pros Timotheon to Timothy, deuteros, second, tes ephesion of the Ephesians, ecclesia assembly. See, Timothy of the Ephesian assembly. Proton, the first. Episcopal overseer, the first overseer, the first bishop, the first pastor, in other words, Kerapton Thinta, chosen, pointed out by the hand, Egrafe, written, apo from Romes, Rome, hote when ek deuteru, the second time, parese, was placed or stood before Paulos, to Caesari, when Paul was placed before Caesar, Neroni, Nero, Caesar Nero. Second time when he's placed before, see, in other words, a second Roman prisoner. See, these, the traditional text of the New Testament has not only that he was pastor of the Ephesus, you know, what he was, who he was, and this is part of the text that was passed down. Also that it was Paul who wrote it, and also about the second Roman prisoner. See, a lot of people deny the second Roman prisoner. There's so many different things that they question and so on. And it becomes it's called a subscription, that's it, subscription. Here we think of subscription to paper, but the subscription, like postscription, subscription, inscription, and minus the subscription, GLTW. See, this is Kreisbach, Lachman, Tischendorf, and Wadsworth. See, they deny it. And probably you have in West Garden Court. I mean, these texts would probably not get it. I don't know that they include those subscriptions there in this particular edition or not. Let me see. So that's, and also in the Hebrew, you see a lot of Hebrew, those names in the Psalms, for instance. You know, the sweet singer of Israel and so on at the beginning. That's part of the text. See, that's not just an addition. That is part of the Hebrew text. It's there. And so, let's see, Hebrews 2 Timothy. Let's just see what they have here. No, they don't have it one way or another. See, I don't think... That's we go to the text here, the New Testament and the text itself. But anyway, this is an interesting phenomenon, these uses of the subscriptions. And you can find a lot of information on that. And some of these, as you say, the actual Bibles we have. All right, let's take a look at our work for next week. And we have our work cut out for us because we shortened things up this week. So let's take 17 and 18. We got the full two lessons, right? Let's look at it overall. We take the vocabulary, paragraph 113, actually. We take the paragraph 115, agathos, masculine, feminine, and neuter, being a plural. And the exercise is 122, vocabulary 123. And... I have circle 124 under the defense of idios, one's own, and mikros, small.
B13.
What's that? Yeah, that's over in the end of the book there.
Mm.
Paragraph C13. Appendix B. Page 221. But idios, I believe, is similar to agathos, and our difference, except that idios got the alpha ending. Idion, macros, macron, macron, feminine, agathos, agathe, a little bit different. They didn't turn it right in the book itself. Well, let's see here. Let's see what we got in our summary. Parhia, like they. Propetes. Is it Neonius? If you read it. I believe that we had, though, some reference there to Neas. Where was that? I've got Cardia, Pone, Come, Aletheia, Glossa, Prophetes, Paneaneas. Page 35, 35 I guess. See 55. Oh yes, the singular for Aeneas, Aeneas, Aeneas. We decided not to learn that, but I've got it on this one apparently. Because it's only partial. The singular of that. I did put it on the chart here. Neonia, Neonii, Neo, Neo, Neis, 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 so on. Then I go to Onoma, page 85. So apparently we didn't require that of the other Greek classes either, so let's... Let's bypass that one there, I guess, 124, although normally I would take that. And then 125, 129, of course, the exercise, I would take that one. All right, let's take a look at 17. The vocabulary, we may have looked that over last time like we did. Good as well.
Agathos.
Agathos, all right. And Agatha Christie, that's the name for good. Beloved, another adjective. These are adjectives of the first and second declension. Beloved.
Agapetos.
Agapetos. That's from agape, agapao, agapetos, the one who is loved. And then the last. Eskatos. Atos. All right, that's the alpha and the omicron. And then evil or bad. Eschatos, of course, eschatology, we mentioned that last time. Kakos, okay, kakos, evil or bad, kakos. And you have the word cacophony, if you're familiar with that word, bad sound, phone kakos. Cacophony. And maybe the other words. All right, good and beautiful. Kalos. Calligraphy, we mentioned last time. Kali is beautiful. Graphos is writing. Beautiful writing is calligraphy. Pistos is meaning what?
Faithful.
All right, faithful pistos. Okay. Faith now is pistis with the I, that's the Yoda sigma. But this is pistos, faithful. First?
Protos.
Protos, all right. The prototype, the proton, so on, be first. Any questions on those vocabulary? Just those seven, Larry?
Pistis, is that?
Pistis. Pistis is faith, you see. Pisteo is the I believe, and pistos is faithful as an adjective.
Well, then that's a noun.
Yeah, hepistis is a noun. Yeah, the faith is a noun. Hepistis.
What kind of a declension is
that? That's a feminine, and that's a First declension, see, hey, pistis.
It's an ongoing
one. Oh, it is an ongoing one. It's an irregular one, yeah. Pistis, pistu, pisto, pisto, and so on like that. Mm-hmm. Piston, yes. Mm-hmm. That's a feminine one that's different, I guess, an exception. Yeah, hey, pistis. All right, any other questions on that? All right, let's look at the adjective, which is good, like the good man, or the agathos, anthropos, right? The good woman, hey, agathe, woman, is the gune, and then the good spirit, like the Holy Spirit, agathon, pneuma, see? Pneuma would be the Holy Spirit's neuter. So the good spirit of God would be agathon. All right, let's go down the masculine, singular plural. Agathos, agathu, agathu, agatho, 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 agathon, agathe. Plural. Not agathe, but agathe. Agathe. Watch our pronunciation till we get the spelling. Plural. Agathoi, agathon, agathon, agathois, 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 agathous, agathoi. Right now, if it's a feminine, good. Adjective with a feminine noun. Let's go through that one. Agathe, agathes, agathes, agathe, 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 agathein, agathe. If it's plural, agathai, agathon, agathon, agathais, 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 agathas, agathai, agathai, excuse me. And the neuter, if it's a neuter noun that this adjective goes with, the good, like a good spirit, for example. Agathon, agathu, agathu, agatho, 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 agathon, agathon. Plural. Agatha, agathon, see, agathe. That's where you made the mistake in that vocabulary. That must be a. So I explain a lot of times with my son Dan as he's learning Spanish. You know, he'd get these pronunciations of words. I said, Dan, if you do not know how to pronounce those vowels in Spanish, you're going to spell them wrong. See, you know, like the Spanish E is always pronounced A. And Spanish A, English A is always pronounced A. So E, A, I, and the Spanish I is always pronounced E. See, so E, you know, A, A, E, O, U is Spanish, A, E, I, O, U, A, A, E, O, U. In other words, just these, you know, learning of the vowels, sometimes you get the spelling wrong if you don't get those vowels in the mind. That fix. All right, so try again the neuter plural. Agatha, agathon, agathon, agathois, 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 agatha, agatha. All right. A 116 is background, if you're interested in any of those details as to why it's in work for us. Any questions on 16? 117, again, this is a rule. Adjectives agree with the substantives which they modify in gender, number, and case. Example to pistu, dulu, the faithful servant, because hoc dulos is masculine, therefore pistu, faithful, would be also masculine. He prote, hemera. Hey, hemera is feminine, therefore the first day of the week, you see, would be prote, feminine. And pale, hado, because hey, hados, though it looks masculine, is feminine. Hey, hados. The way, like the hodometer, the way, the road. So it's a beautiful way, a good way, kale. And that actually is used to refer to substances in two ways, either as an attribute or as a predicate. Now this is an interesting concept, 118. Any question on 117 as far as agreement? Well, if they agree with the substantive they modify in gender, number, and case, that's why when we come up to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you save through faith in that, not of yourself. It's important because that is a pronominal adjective. It's a demonstrative pronoun, really, but it's similar to this. It's tuta, which is a neuter, you see. And it's not haute, which would be the feminine, you see, or taute, but it's tuta, which is neuter. And so, for by grace you say, and that not of yourselves. You see, and a lot of people refer with that going back to pistis, which is faith, hey pistis, or to grace, hey charis, which is also feminine. But you see, you have to have an agreement in gender, number, and case with a noun that they modify. So tuta cannot refer to either of them, see.
Amen.
No matter what you got, see. I mean, this is the hyper-Calvinistic position, and also that God gives you the faith. Well, he may give you the faith some way or another, but it's not in that verse. You know, whatever it used to be.
Isn't the grace the, shouldn't that be the
reference?
Isn't grace
the one that's the antecedent, the tuta?
Isn't grace the gift? Wouldn't that line up?
Well,
we're saved by grace, theologically.
Well, right, theologically, not dramatically. By grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself.
What
not?
That.
Well, see, is it grace, it's not of yourself? Hekatos, which is feminine, chuto being neuter? No. Is it the faith that is also feminine, hepistis? No, it's the whole concept. I think there's a participle there from sozo to save, as testos menois, which is a perfect passive participle, testos menois. And the whole idea of salvation, you see, can be comprehended in the neuter. That can take an idea that's in a participial idea that way and can sum it up in this way. And so I think that, of course, that really fits. For by grace you say, and you say, testos menois, through faith. And that, not the grace, not the faith, but that salvation, not which whereby you're saved, is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. That salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. See, that's perfect. It was perfect. Now, if you said, for by grace you saved through faith, forget the Greek. Suppose you don't have just the English Bible. By grace you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. If you say the grace is not of yourselves, not of works, but then imagine both grace is not of yourselves. Let's see, for grace is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Grace is a gift of God. Not of works, but then imagine both grace is not of works. That grace is not of works. Well, that's true, you almost know grace is not of works. Grace and works are so opposite. See, the same with faith, it's not of works. Well, it's opposite again. See, this doesn't even gel in that other sense so much. Lest any man should boast. But if you say the salvation is not of works, then it all seems to fit right in together. Mm-hmm. Any other questions on 117, the agreement there of substantives with the adjectives? Now, I agree, tuto is, of course, a pronoun, a demonstrative pronoun, but it's similar to an adjective. It's similar to this whole situation because demonstrative pronouns also agree with the nouns, the substantives they modify in gender, number, and case. See, this is the way they're. Now, occasionally, you find a relative pronoun. Who, for instance, if you say, that is the man whom I saw, or that is the woman whom I saw. Now, if it's a woman, the relative pronoun whom, or who, depending on which, what way you're taking that sentence, would be a feminine relative pronoun. And if it's a man, then it'd be a masculine, generally speaking. See, the relative pronoun also agrees with the noun it modifies in number, person, case, person, number, case. But occasionally you have the phenomenon in Greek language known as attraction, where the case of the relative pronoun is taken from some other word in the context by attraction and just goes to there. Just like a lot of times when we're not thinking, when we speak very quickly, we, by attraction, hit the wrong number in some of our verbs, you know. You can say one of great numbers hit me. One hit me. Obviously, that would be one of great numbers. Well, what would you say? Numbers. Say one of great number pleases me or please me. See, in other words, one pleases or numbers please. You see what I mean? That type of thing. Sometimes we get mixed up as to the control. There's an attraction, but generally speaking, this is the rule. Now, any questions further than 117? And I notice 118, this is a very important concept. Adjectives are used to refer to substantives in two ways, as an attribute or a predicate. I believe we took that in Hebrew, did we not? The predicate and the attribute, the attributive position, the predicative position. And notice number one, in the phrase ho pistos doulos, the faithful servant. Pistos, faithful, is an attributive adjective. It's an attribute. It qualifies a substantive. Doulos, servant. To describe without any assertion about it, it's the faithful servant. Now, the way you can tell an attributive adjective is, does it modify the servant in a sense? Does it tell more about it? Is it describing an attribute of that noun? And also, normally has the article attributive position. Ha, pistos, article attributive, AA. That's one way that you can remember that. Usually that has the article. Notice number two, though, in the phrase ha doulos pistos, not the ha pistos doulos, but ha doulos pistos, the servant is understood faithful. Predigadaeus Pistos faithful makes an assertion about the substance of doulos servant. You notice Pistos is without the article, it's anarthrous, and it follows the noun, the substantive. And therefore, you can always, just like in Hebrew, you can put an is in there in Greek. Remember Hebrew, you can slip in an is anytime you want, that you might say. And the is in the same tense as the context, whether it was or whether it is. And so, hadoulos pistos, the servant is faithful. That's the identical structure we find in 2 Timothy 3:16. Pasa, kate, the honest pasa. All scripture counts, is given by inspiration. It's not pasta hotha anastas grafe, it's the all the God breathed scripture and so on, but it's pasta grafe and then theanastas. That's in the predicative position. You put an is in there, perfectly good Greek, just like perfectly good Hebrew. All scripture is. It's in italics because it must be supplied, but it's readily supplied. It's one of the Greek rules. Whenever you have an attributive position, as if you put an is, no problem, that's standard understanding and translation technique. So basically that's what we have. Now they're going to get a few more illustrations. It's important to understand this distinction between the true and predicate adjective in Greek. The distinction lies in just this, that the predicate presents an additional statement while the attribute is an adherent description. One additional statement, the other just a description. For instance, the examples of the position of the adjective. Number one, attributive position of the adjective, hapistos doulos, the faithful servant. Hadoulos, hapistos. Now notice, though pistos succeeds or follows doulos in the second example, it has the article, and therefore it's still in the attributive position. You follow me? The attributive adjective is always preceded by the article. The predicate adjective is never preceded by the article. That's a generalization, but if you want to write that rule down, that would be fairly close to being accurate. I wrote it in the bottom of my margin on page 57. Note the adjective comes immediately before or after rather the article. So both of those are the faithful servant. Hadoulos, hapistos, the servant, the faithful one, see? Faithful, or hapistos, doulos. Now on top of page 58, there's another order of the attributive position. Doulos, hapistos, servant, the faithful one. It's not frequent in the New Testament, but it's a possibility. So it's saying hadoulos, hapistos is simply doulos hapistos. But still, before pistos, the attributive adjective, you have the article. Article, attributive. Attributive, article. And it's the faithful servant. It's not the servant is faithful. You never translate doulos hapistos, the servant is faithful. See, because that would be the attributive. That would be the attributive position as a faithful servant, not the predicated position. Predicate means you're predicating something, you're telling something about the subject. Okay? Now, if you had doulos pistos, neither one with the article, it could be either the servant, the faithful one, or the servant is faithful. If only pistos, a doulos pistos. The general thought would be, a doulos pistos would be, the servant is faithful, because of the order of the word, you see. You'd think you put the is right in there. If it were pistos, doulos, faithful servant, that would be generally accepted too. You could, though, pistos doulos, I guess they serve the... Now, you couldn't say faithful is the servant. You know, it'd just be the faithful servant. You couldn't make that switch, could you? It wouldn't make sense, would it? You wouldn't say the faithful is a servant. No, it wouldn't work. But the servant is faithful, yes, or the faithful servant. The second, now, example, page 58, the second type of illustration, the predicate position of the adjective, doulos pistos, the servant is faithful. Or pistos, hadoulos, faithful, the servant. See? But you see, in both those instances where the servant is faithful, or the faithful is the servant, the adjective pistos has no article. Therefore, it's in the predicative position and not the attributive position. Note the adjective does not come immediately after the article, but either precedes the article or follows the substantive. Adjective. So these are some concepts that you will work on your adjective in your exercise a little bit. Any questions on that 118, 119? All right, 120 then, when the article is not present. Now, there's an example, like we said before. The context has to decide whether an adjective is attributive or predicate. Example, phrase pistos doulos. Or doulos pistos may either be attributive, a faithful servant, or predicative, a servant is faithful. You get that point. Without the article, it's hard to tell. But if you got the article, and the adjective has one before it, 99% of chances are it would be in the attributive position, modifying. All right, any questions? The New Testament holos, whole, never has the attributive position. That's anything, whole. You can never say the whole house. You always say the house is whole, holos. See, that's just the way it is in the New Testament, but that doesn't mean it never could have in any other Greek, but at least not in the New Testament. Any questions on 121? I don't know why they throw that in to scare you at this point, but that's what they do. If you can remember that. All right, let's go on, if not, to exercise lesson number 18. The adjectives of the first and second declension continued. Let's take a look at our vocabulary. Eternal is what? Ionios. All right, that has to do with ion or age, the age long, eternal, that's the word that they use. And I have in my margin, or my next to this, masculine and feminine. Ionios. There are some adjectives that are both masculine and feminine, and apparently this is one of them.
Now, wait a minute, I thought adjectives didn't have gender.
Yeah. No, they don't. Maybe it's only used in the Oh, yes, they have.
That's not what I meant by their very nature.
They don't know. They come from what noun they modify, right? Yeah, I guess what I meant to say, perhaps,
it doesn't occur in the neuter,
or it's identical in the masculine and the feminine. Let me just see if I can get a little more light on that.
See, that would make sense because nothing neuter is eternal. Is that right?
The Holy Spirit is neuter.
Holy Spirit is neuter.
So he would be eternal. Hmm. But let me take a look and see.
You mean to tell me there's an... I don't want to get you off the track.
Can you tell me what?
You mean to tell me there's a neuter personal
pronoun? I have it on track.
Oh, yes, you do.
Okay.
You get off on rabbit track. How can you say that call him he in the New Testament then?
Because it's the personality of the Holy Spirit that is the guiding force. The King James Version, the Spirit itself, they're giving the grammatical, literal translation of that, which is acceptable grammatically, but we have translated the Spirit himself because... And, of course, other places they do also in the book of Romans, chapter 8. They say the Spirit itself bears witness, but they call him he, refer to the Spirit of God as he, in other places also in the same King James. But we refer to him as a person, therefore, himself, even though it is a neuter word, you see, the Spirit. The word Spirit is wind, pneuma. And it means wind, pneuma, it means breath, it means Spirit. All three of those, it could be any one of those. And it is a natural phenomenon as far as the wind, as far as breath. And Ruach in the Old Testament, I'm not sure, possibly is, I don't know what the gender of that is offhand. Ionios, ha, and he, and Ionios. I've got ha and he, intermediate as to duration. Excuse me, indeterminate as to duration, eternal, everlasting. Ha or hey, see? Ionios, Ionia, Ionion. Apparently it's either ha or hey. You got the Ionios is the masculine, Ionia is the feminine, Ionion is the neuter, but apparently it's either a masculine or feminine. Ha or hey. Now I don't understand it, but that's what it says here, ha and hey. Paragraph 7, remark 2, maybe I can see in the first part of our analytical Greek lexicon. 7, remark 2. Remark 2, many adjectives, especially in the Attic Greek, and those compounded or derived, have only two terminations, hos for masculine and feminine, on for neuter. Example, masculine and feminine, endoxos, neuter, endoxon, illustrious. Incorruptible. Basileus is on. Ionion, everlasting. That's it. Ionios and Ionion. And so they have only two terminations. one for masculine and feminine, that's Ioneos, and Ioneon for neuter. So that is correct. That's correct information. It's just a question of how we understand that. So Ioneos is it, but I still don't understand that on this reference. Why do they have Ioneos, Ionia, Ioneon? Why do they have the three terminations here?
Well, according to what you just read, the Ioneos is used for instance, if it were an eternal father, it'd be Ioneos. If it were an eternal mother, it'd be Ioneos. But if it were an eternal spirit, it'd be Ioneon.
That's right. But why do they have it after in Ioneos in an analog of Greek lexicon? Ioneos, Ionia, Ioneon. Instead of Ioneos, Ioneos, Ionia. See, why they put that Ionia in there? That's the thing. It really is.
So there's a contradiction right in the same.
Apparently, right in the same lexicon, yes. So that's a strange one. But we'll go with the Ioneos for masculine and feminine as we sit right now. We'll forget this Ionia existence.
We don't have to put articles in front of these for the test.
Never with the adjective, that's right. Is that what you mean? Unless we're using an attributive position, of course. Then we would. Is that what you mean?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, attributive position we would have for the adjective. All right, so eternal, Ionia's, age long. That's what we get, Ionia's, eternal life. Righteous as well.
Dikaios.
What's your accent? Dikaios. Dike is just, justice, and dikaios. Dikaiosune is righteousness. Dikaiadzo is to justify. So all these things to make righteous, to declare righteous. Dikaios. Dikaiadzo. All right, another as well.
Heteros.
What's your rough reading on this? Heteros. Alos, we had Alos for another. We had that yet. A-L-L, Alpha, Lambda, Lambda, Omicron, Sigma. That Alos is another of the same general sort, and Heteros is another of a completely different sort. See, another one. I'm giving you another spirit, the
heterosexual.
Another gospel, heterosexual, yes. Heteros, another completely different kind, you see. Alos. Allopathic, another type of disease, and homeopathic is, of course, the same symptoms. But heteros, you've been removed from my gospel to another gospel, heteros. This is what it is in the book of Galatians, chapter 1. All right, of a different sort. Allos, another of the same sort. When the Lord departed, he said, I will give you another. Is the active working of kakos, the active working of evils. That's poneros. And then phallos, good for nothingness. Now I think that's where you have in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we shall all appear before the judgment of Christ that we must do things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. See, good or bad. There may be a textual variant there, problem. But I'm not sure, but I think phallos may be in there. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Let me check that and see.
That would mean worthless at that point.
Yes, good for nothingness. That's right. 5:10. Let me see here. We have 5:10. Presidency of Christ. Don't you think that we bring that? Would it be good or bad? Well, you see, kakos is what the textual receptors as, good or evil. And that's what I thought. I remember the textual variant of that. And phallos is Tichendorf and Tergelis. Phallos. Let's see what the master, Westcott and Hort, would say in that. 2 Corinthians, master, in reverse, 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. It is 5:10. I wonder why I can't find that thing. Boy, because I'm in 4:10. That's why, I guess. I get 5:10 is over here. We see 4:57, 4:56. All right, it's over in this other. I was in 4:10. That's why I couldn't find it. Yeah, sure enough. Kakon is what the textual receptor says, and old Westcott and Hort, Fowlon. follow. They're the ones that do the job. They got that.
They
follow us. Good for nothing. This verse is kakos, lacking of goodness. So it's textual, right? But I knew that there was somewhere along the line in there, in the Westcott and Hortex, but it isn't in the textual stuff. And I didn't bring my down here in my majority, so-called majority text of Nelson and Hodges, Professor Zane Hodges. See what that would say. But kakos is the evil that is there. So these are good for nothingness is poneros, and kakos is the absence of agathos. That's what trans the essence of trans. He has a couple of pages on it, 2-3 pages, I guess. Synonyms.
Poneros is the
good for nothingness.
Active working of evil.
So that would be. You're correct. The active working of evil, poneros. And phalos would be the good for nothingness. You're correct. Active working of evil, that's correct. And kakos, the absence of agathos, the absence of goodness. All right, learn the definition of idios, one's own, and mikros, small. We have bypassed that, but if you look at it on page 221, just to run over it, though we may not need to fix it in our minds, let's go to idios. In the nominative singular and then the plural. You find it, 221. Idios.
Where are we?
Page 221 at the bottom of the page. Let's repeat the genitive and ablative and the locative instrumental native as they have bracketed it, but just for.
We're not.
No, we just want to go over it so that you'll be able to retain it. So be able to recognize it and understand it. Idios, idiu, idiu, idio, 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 idion, and idiad. The plural, dot page 222 of the masculine. Idioi, idion, idion, idiois, 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 idius, and vocative like the noun of idioi. All right, now the feminine, one's own or private situation. Idia, idias, idias, idia, 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 idion, an evocative, idia, plural, idia, idiae rather, idion, idion, idiais, 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 idias, and idiae is like a noun. Then the neuter, one's own or personal things, idion, idiu, idiu, idio, 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 idion, and idion, plural. Idia, idion, idion, idiois, 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 idia. All right, we won't go on to the mikros, it's similar, mikros, mikron. I go back then to 259, and some adjectives explain, especially compounds have only two endings, masculine and feminine, having the same form, adikos, adikon, unjust and unrighteous. Now, see, that's the same with ionos. Ionios, rather. Just the masculine and feminine. So I'm going to connect that up, to masculine and feminine, Ionios, regardless of that note in the analytical there. All right, prepositional phrases, paragraph 126, where adverbs are often used like adjectives in the attributive position. For example, hoi ento oiko anthropoi, the man in the house. Now, attributive position. Why is the prepositional? First of all, what is the prepositional phrase in that group of words?
In the house.
In the house. En to oiko. Why is that in the attributive position? Because it comes between the article and the noun or substantive, and therefore the article precedes it. See, it's the. In the house, men. See? The in the house, men. That's the kind of men they are. They're the men in the house. So, what kind of a prepositional phrase would in the house be? An adverbial or adjectival prepositional phrase?
Adjectival,
modifying house. Okay. The in the house, men. The substantive may be absent. For instance, you can just say ta entois uranois. The things in the heavens. Ta. You don't need even to have anything else. Other than the article, top, and you can still say in the heavens. And I have referred here John 1:11, because again, in the came unto his own things, you see, those things, and his own people, hoi idioi received him. Questions on those prayers?
No,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. If the hoi were before the anthropoi, then
it would be the men were in the house. So if the hoi anthropoi, it's predication. Yes, apparently so. Apparently so. See, and just like an adjective, hoi anthropoi en to oiko, and you leave out the is, so they put the r, that they are in the house.
Mm-hmm. And this second phrase here, the ta, that's the thing?
Yeah, because it's neuter plural. Ta. Mm-hmm. See, ta is neuter singular. That, which, the singular, but ta is neuter plural. Remember the neuter plural article? Have we come to that yet?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't come to that yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have.
Yeah, for todoron, the gift.
Principle.
That's right. But here you leave off the substantive and just put the article itself, and you still have the things, you know, in the house.
Now, if it were ha, then it'd be the man in the house.
Yeah, the one in the house. The ha was in the house. That's right. Or the whatever else may be masculine, it may be in the house. That's true. That or that which is in the house. All things which in, all that which is in the house. All right. Any questions further than that? 127, the adjective in any gender without a substantive is often used as a practical substantive. The adjective in any gender without a substantive is like a substantive. For instance, they're like a noun, or a substantive being a noun, usually with the article, but not always. For instance, hoi kaloi, the good. Men or people are understood, so it's the good ones, and therefore the good. Not always. Example, hoi kaloi. The good, always without the article, or with the article rather. Not always. Hoi kaloi, the good ones, good men or people. Ta agathon, the good thing. See, the good thing understood. It's really the good. It's an adjective. Te prite, on the third, and day is understood, himera. See, on the third and day, you can put that in it. The feminines are usually examples of ellipses of hemera and hodas, day and road or ways. All right, any questions on that?
I don't understand that last sentence. The feminines are usually examples of
ellipses. So leaving out, shortening up, leaving out of hemera. For instance, te trite, on the third. The third what? Well, hemera is feminine, trite is feminine, the third day understood, say. On the third day of the week, the Lord rose from the dead. And hodas, sometimes it leaves out that on the third road or something. Hodas is road or way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, hodas, truth and life. That's the word there. You have that all right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then the top of 60 has a complement. The indicative, mostly in the active voice, is used with adjectives, substantives, and verbs that imply power or ability, fitness, capacity, and their opposites. So that's the infinitive used in the active voice with adjectives, substantives that imply power. For instance, dunatos koluen, able to hinder. These are adjectives, able to hinder. And the next one, exousia. Ekbalein, power to cast out. Exousia, power, authority to cast out. Dunamai akuein, I am able to hear. So it's a complement. The infinitive is used with adjectives, substantive, verbs that imply power of or ability to do something, fitness or capacity. So this is what these adjectives are. There's a special kind of adjective. Any questions on that one? There, 128. All right, we'll get our exercises also. Let me just review once again for next week what we're expecting of you. Number 113 paragraph is vocabulary, 115, agathos, 123, vocabulary, and 129, exercise. That's it.
You skipped 122. 122,
actually, yeah. Excuse me, I meant 122 also. I had two exercises and two vocabularies. and then one declension. Any questions further on that? All right, if not, let's take a look. We'll finish up our exercises, and then we'll go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Again. By the way, did you see this? You had a chance to read it. Any of you see this? It's for Bill. He wanted to know that. He wanted to know as much as he could on Dr. Ruckman, Peter Ruckman. And I told him one of the things Peter Ruckman believes is that Christ had free will and could have sinned. You know, he could have, in this bottom paragraph, to say that Jesus Christ could not have debated over an action within himself in regards to something as real heresy. This would have given him no free will. And he says specifically there are two wills are involved, not my will, but thine be done. If there was no possibility that Jesus Christ could have debated within himself the possibility of disobedience, debated within himself the possibility of disobedience, then he certainly was not tempted like as we are, and he couldn't save you or anybody else. So if you read the context and in regard to Christ being able to sin, none of you gentlemen have ever approached the verses that deal with this temptation. You all assume the devil was stupid and was wasting his time in tempting Christ, Luke 4. You further assume that although the scriptures say he was tempted in all points like as we are, that he wasn't really tempted because he couldn't have sinned anyway. See, in other words, this is, he could have sinned. The whole evidence of his argument is that. Furthermore,
it's a difficult point. I mean, how do we say that he was tempted in all points like as we are, but without sin? I mean, I don't believe that he could have sinned because he couldn't be God if he could even consider sinning, but it is a difficult point.
Well,
and why would the devil have tempted him?
All right, the devil is not omniscient, first of all. He did not know for sure whether he could have caused him to sin. We covered this very point in the book of Hebrews last Sunday in our Sunday school lesson. It wasn't in the lesson, but I covered it, whether it was in the lesson or not. I don't know how I got into it. something about, doctrine. Don't be carried about with divers doctrine. Be strong in your doctrine. See, Hebrews 13. Paul, I believe, was the author. Paul mentions that you're to stand up and be men and firm in doctrine. See, and don't be tossed to and fro. And I mentioned that this doctrine of one of these doctrines is popular, as of course Richard DeHaan and Dr. M. R. DeHaan teaching Christ could have sinned, and others believe the same. In fact, that same thing is taught in Armstrongism. Armstrongism is very strong that Christ could have sinned, you see. Well, that didn't, he doesn't believe it in a real sense. Christ was deity also, so there's a lot of different aspersions. Jehovah's Witnesses. But the essence of this is, getting back to your question, Steve, that the word, he was a theanthropic person. He was Theos and Anthropos. He was the God-man. They were joined in the two natures, but in one person. You see, if the two natures are joined in only one person, not two persons, the early church battled that out in the different councils, as you know, and that was the understanding they came to, and I think it's the proper understanding. Well, only one person. Well, if there's only one person with two natures, what the one nature does, the other nature would have to be involved in, because there's only one person, you see. And so if Christ could have sinned in his human nature, is so joined to the deity, therefore you're saying the deity also is a party to that sin and possibility of sinning as well. The danger, as I say, of that, I know the verse we got on, Hebrews, I was right on the context, right on the theme, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What I meant was the other minute when I said I have no tracks. I didn't mean the rapture. I meant I have no particular tracks we must stay in all the time. If things move along, we go ahead and slip out of them and go that way. See, and whatever the subject may
be. Wherever the Spirit leads.
Wherever the Spirit leads. A tangential doctrine or some aspect that must be brought in. For instance, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I brought this doctrine in. I said, if he is the same today and yesterday and forever, his person is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, if he could have sinned yesterday, he could sin today. He could sin tomorrow. And if he sins today, you and I have no salvation. We're lost. And after we get to heaven, if he sins tomorrow, forever, if he could sin, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we'd lose our salvation in eternity because he would fall and we would fall with him. So very important, this whole idea of the impeccability of Christ. And that's how I tied it into Hebrews 13:8. But now you ask the question, if we understand that, he was not omniscient, first of all. He didn't know whether he could or couldn't. Adam was tempted and fell. tested and fell. If you want to use the word test, I prefer test to tempt. Because tempt now has different connotations than it did in King James Day. It still has tempt. It's perfectly good English if you look it up in the dictionary and see the archaic flavor of it in a sense of test. That's fine. But to us, tempt means tempt with the possibility of inveigling you into the act, you see, and also something in regard to sin. And you think of the word tempt, there's sinfulness overtones in that, isn't there? See, the denotation and the connotation. But see, Satan was successful with Adam with a full stomach and Eve with a full stomach, the whole Garden of Eden with everything they wanted to eat. Here, something to eat. Would you eat something else? He was successful. Then why did he not think he would be absolutely successful with the Lord Jesus Christ, who had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, was in the wilderness, with nothing to eat? Now the temptation comes.
To that he might not understand the two natures.
That's right. He doesn't understand a lot of things.
The Old Testament didn't reveal that he was God.
There's different innuendos. Adumbrations and shadows, you see, in the Trinity. But nothing anything specific.
The devil's not even a fruitcake.
Yes, he is.
As far as I can see, he's crazy.
Yes, he is.
So who knows what he's going
to
do.
He's out to do strange things, and he does strange things. So that's number one about Satan's motivation. But number two, if you use the word test in a good sense, the test, just exactly what it is, it doesn't mean you necessarily can fail the test just because you're being tested. You see what I mean? You can be tested on 10 words, you know, backwards and forwards, and there's no possibility that you...
Tested should really be translated tested.
Yes, I think test is a straightforward perazzo. See, that's the word perazzo is the test. Docomazzo is a test. Also, the difference being perazzo is usually test with the attempt to try to get somebody to fail. Docomazzo is the word test in the sense of hoping that you're going to stand and will not fail. See, docomazzo just for an approval. You test me out. You prove you're for yourself. See, docomazzo. And Paul didn't want to be adokamos, disapproved, see. Failing his test, laid on the shelf, a castaway. See, 1 Corinthians 9:27, remember that verse? I fear lest having preached to others, I myself might be adokamos, disapproved. Perazzo, though, is trying and testing with the hope that you'll fall. Satan tested in the perazzo sense, the hope that the Lord would fall and fail, but you see, he was being tested, see.
So God tests in the sense that he hopes you'll stand and Satan.
Talk about that. Yes, that's a good point. That's a good contrast. But if you look under, I don't have my the concordance here, but you look in the Greek concordance under the word test, tempt, perazzo, and even in the English concordance, you'll see a lot of different ways that that's used, the exact same way that Satan tested Christ, see, tempt. They tempted the Lord. I think in the book of Hebrews you have that word used. They tempted in the sense of test of the Lord. See, you can't tempt the Lord in the sense that he's going to sin. See, man is spoken of in Hebrews 2, 3, and 4. Remember in the wilderness? They tempted the Lord, and they tested the Lord, and they tried him, you see, in the wilderness. And he couldn't sin. But that word test, you see, they test him. They want to see what he's going to do. He's not going to fail the test, you see. And so the Lord Jesus was tested in all points, like as we yet without sin. He did not fail. But tempt, you see, when you say the word tempt, as we have in our King James Version, you automatically think of, well, there's something that's sinful there. There's something that's a little bit off key. It's a little bit shadowy and so on. And,
you know, it's almost a perspective type thing, too. In other words, Satan, if you look at it from his point of view, he was trying to tempt Christ. Then if you turn around and look at it from Christ's point of view, he was only tested. He was not tempted by it.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I guess the devil got his theology straight after that. He held Ruckman's view beforehand.
So this is the picture here. And so
you have copies of that?
Yeah, I guess.
Good.
These are copies. You're interested in copies?
Yeah, files.
And divorced.
They're on your files.
Remarried and fully disqualified. Right one also here. This believer's bulletin here is quotes me in here saying that I've got it wrong, but anyway, this rubbish, he said, I've mentioned that to you before, but I think I read that in class. So, yes, if you remind me at the end of class, we'll get that. All right, let's take a look at our exercises, if you have them before you, then we'll go to the Gospel of John, time permitting. We have one or two today?
One.
One?
Uno.
Okay. Uno. Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Hes mia hen. One in Greek. Hes is one. Mia is the feminine. Hen is the neuter. Hes mia hen. So that's one. Hes. Ud es, not one. Ud es. Uda is u is no, and ud with a delta in there. Es. Ud es, not one. But utis, yeah, no one. Yeah, nobody. That's the name of utis. And in the Iliad, in the Odyssey, was it Ulysses, when he went to the Cyclops with one eye, the big one-eyed man, Cyclops said, "Who is it?" And he said, "It's Utis." No one. The nameless one. That was his name. Utis is here. No one. So, I don't know how we remembered that, but you said something about Utis or something, no one, or nobody or something. A while back in our class, I don't remember what connection. Was it the Jew, or was it you?
No.
Nobody.
His paper.
Oh, yes, sir, the mere the Mr. No, the nameless one, Utis, that's right. It's just like the Greek word for the beautiful isle of somewhere, but the beautiful isle of nowhere. The Greek name that Plato gave for the perfect society, remember what it was?
Utopia.
Yeah, that's right. And you, as the alpha privative, you can change to a. Atopia. A is no, topos is place, no place, nowhere. Place of nowhere, utopia. Nowhere, no place at all. So that's Plato's name. And so these little Greek names are interesting in the nameless people and nameless places that don't really exist. But and Plato was quite a socialist. He was really a socialist as far as that's concerned, too, on his economics. Very impractical indeed. And left-wing, we would call him in a political sense, whereas the other thinker in the Greek culture, Aristotle, was strong right down the line, as you might say, in a conservative sense, that we would consider today. And of course, Aristotle was the father of the syllogism and of the logic and so on, and inductive reasoning, to inductive reasoning versus the syllogistic reasoning, which of course goes from the general to the specific. So if you want to classify those two authors, Aristotle and Aristotelian logic is good, solid logic. And of course, the modernists and liberals today and the progressivists and the socialists today hate Aristotelian logic. They try to knock Aristotle all they can. They take up for Plato. They like Plato's Republic. They like Plato's Republic. All right, now we're in 122. What is it, 112?
Yep.
112. Okay, who's got, let's read the first sentence there. Oh, excuse me, change of papers for the bottom, graded by, if you would. Now, does everybody have his name or respectively on their paper?
Yes.
Everybody's name? Okay, no name or something. That's good.
I have a name.
Uh-oh. Who is? No one.
Yeah.
Nobody. All right, reading it, we have what on the first one? In the Greek first?
Echet.
Echet.
Haran.
Haran. Cardias. Which says what?
You plural, ye have.
Correct object. Karan, joy.
And
peace. Accusative, accusative. In the hearts.
And you see, as be your heart.
That's right. And we're going to learn later, maybe we already learned, that sometimes the article can be used as a personal pronoun, your. So, in the hearts, in your hearts, is fine. In your hearts. It's one of the uses of the article in Greek, as we find, if we haven't already. I think we had a little footnote, didn't we, somewhere? At one point, maybe not yet, but we will have a little later. Any other questions on one? All right, let's read two in the Greek. Sentence 2, page 55. Hoi. Matai tai. Elegon. Barbalas.
En
te synagoge. All right, that says what?
the disciples.
Elegon.
We're saying.
This can be either I was saying or they were saying. In this case, it's they, because of the context. They were saying, or they were speaking.
Parables,
accusative, plural.
In
the synagogue. The other phone is ringing. It's interesting. Because my wife's on one phone, the other phone is, well, I'll pick it up. In the synagogue. All right, any questions now on two? All right, let's go to three. Read that for us.
Ente.
Gay.
Kai.
Pardon?
I snuck that one out.
Oh, we don't know gay.
Gay.
All right, earth.
Well,
okay.
We didn't come across it officially.
That's right.
Hebraic 107.
Yeah. Oh, it is 107?
See, they stuck it in somewhere.
Oh, hey, gay. Yes. Contract subs. Yeah, hey, gay.
What is that, a contract?
I guess maybe gao or something like that, gay. I don't really know. I've always learned gay, hey gay. And I would say gao or gao, something like that. See if it says in this one here. Contract words are contracted, shortened up, apocopated, little ellipsized, elided, any of those. Truncated, any of those words are messy or gay. It says here, gay, yeah, from, yeah, I was wrong, not ka'o, but ya'a, from ya'a. Gamma, epsilon, alpha, ya'a. That he lies to gay. Earth, soil, the ground, surface of the earth, the land, opposed to sea or lake, the earth or world. By synecdoche, the inhabitants of the earth, the ones living on the earth. That's synecdoche, figure of speech. A land, region, tract, country, territory, and so on. Chosen land, the inhabitants of a region or county or country. So, yeah, that's the answer to our question. Well, I said I didn't have a concordance. I do have a concordance here to the Greek. And we were looking up earlier, questioning about the word phallos. Let's see if we can get a worthless one situation there. Epsilon phi. I just remembered from memory that other one, Second Corinthians 5:10, because of the different textual thing. As I was teaching that in Sunday school class, I looked that up and noticed it years ago. Phallos. Phantasma, phallos. It's only used four times in the whole New Testament. Interesting, it's a phallos. John 3:20. Everyone that doeth and hateth the doeth evil hateth the light. Interesting. 3:20. Doeth evil, phallos. Good for nothingness. That's what the prince said. 5:29 of John. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of the unjust. Remember the two resurrections. Good for nothingness. Titus 2:8. Having no evil thing to say of you, know that you're not good for nothing. And then James 3:16, there is confusion in every evil work, where that is. There's, you know, I guess devilish wisdom, I think. So that's the picture there. And then I told you under peirazo.
It's interesting to note that you don't have to do evil, but just worthless things.
Yeah, right, just worthlessness. It's the same contrast as the race that is set before us in Hebrews 12:1. We talked that last a week ago in Sunday school class. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race set before us. See, the weight is one thing. Sin is definitely wrong, but the weight are just maybe good things in themselves, but they just weigh us down. We got to shed them if we're going to be athletes for Christ. So that's the two contrasting things. Now, I asked about the perasmos and the temptation, you know, and I said if I had this here, we'd look it up. Let's see if I can find the perazo here, para. And see a few of the uses there in the context. I was looking and listening to my Bible as I'm reading it through, and I say, hey, here's the thing, it's the very, very same issue on tempt. I don't remember whether it was the Old Testament or the New Testament. Probably both. You know, as I come through that word, I see temptation, tempt, and I say, yeah, this is exactly like it is in the temptation of the Lord. See, perazo. All right, here's perazo. And perasmos, that's a temptation. It leaves not a temptation. All right, could be temptation to evil or test. Must be under a temptation. The devil tempted the Lord. Acts 26:19. Temptation to be found. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taking you. I guess you could say that would be certainly a test. It's a common man with temptation you make. Galatians 4:14. My temptation, fall into temptation of the snare. 6:9. The day of temptation in the wilderness, when you fall into divers temptations, blessed is he that endureth temptation, heaviness, your manifold temptation, fiery trials, tried. Perasmos. Hebrews 2:18, hath suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them. Your fathers tempted me. There it is, 3:9. Hebrews 3:9. I must have been the study of the Hebrews. That's where I read it, because I saw it and it was clear. When your fathers tempted me. Well, in what sense did the Israelites in the wilderness tempt the Lord? I mean, did they want to get him to do evil? No. But they tested him, didn't they? They tried his patience. They tried to see if they could get around his will and so on. They tested. See what I mean? So if you put that same sense of tempt, they tempted me, and the devil to tempt Christ, same thing. They tested him. They tried to get the better of them. They tried to. That doesn't mean they solicited him to do evil in the sense of that they were able to, or they could corrupt him or succeed. See?
That's Hebrews 13.
That's Hebrews chapter 3, and verse. See, I lost it. Right? Hebrews 3 and verse 9. See, Hebrews 3 and 9. That word is perazo. P. Epsilon, Iota, Rho, Alpha, Zeta, Omega. I did better before I reviewed that Hebrew. When I was blissfully, in the past in the Hebrew, it wasn't as clear and crystal. But once you study and you get in depth of the thing, and you go back to the other that you're familiar with and you never had any trouble with, you get twisted up at it. Perazzo. That's what that word is, to try and attempt. And you see, in that same word, Hebrews 4:15, Christ was in all points tempted like we. That same word, perazzo. In the same sense, your fathers tempted me, Christ was tempted, perazzo, tested in all points. That's all. And then, again, look at this. Yeah, Hebrews 11:17, Abraham, when he was tried, that word is perazzo, the same word, tempted. Could be tempted, but here it's translated tried, offered up Isaac. Now, God didn't tempt him to solicitation of sin, in a sense of tempt, to offer up Isaac, but he tried him, he tested him. See, that's the very word, perazzo. Yes.
Is that the same word that's in the first chapter of James?
Yes, it is. No man, when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God.
No.
Tested, is that what you mean?
No, the other one, where it says...
Fall into divers temptations?
Yes.
That's the same word.
It is?
Perasmos. Mm-hmm. That's right. See, this can have an evil sense, but it can have a neutral sense. It can have either sense. Mm-hmm. Either way, it's possible. So that's what it was. For instance, look at here, Hebrews 11:37. The heroes of the hall of faith, sawn asunder, were tempted. See, at perazzo, tested. Not in the sense of tempted, but they were tested and tried and so on. But being human, they could have had the other meaning of temptation also. But so these words must be understood in the way that they use them. And I think that's what I had reference to. Where do we go from this to there? That's my question. And we got into the ge, and we got into the ga, which is the ellipsis in the contract, right? And I got into that book, and then I saw the other book. All right, I always want to see where we get off the track, our trackless trolley experimentation here. All right, shall we go on then? Did we finish reading here? I think we just tried N-T-A. All right, continue reading, if you would, please.
Kai,
N-T-A,
Salase.
I think we're going to have to try that one again. That's good. Edoxadzeta. Try it. Edoxadzeta. Okay. Then? Curious, that's hard. All right, curiosity killed the cat. All right, in verse number three there, the third one is translated what?
In the earth.
In the earth?
And
in the sea.
The Lord
was being glorified. A beautiful, passive voice, isn't it? At top. And of course, the subject had to be Hakurios, because it's in the nominative, isn't it?
No, could it be he was glorifying himself?
The Lord was glorifying himself? Yes, I guess so. The Lord was glorifying himself in the sense of the.
So it could be the Lord was glorifying himself in the earth and in the sea?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Start with the Lord and go backwards.
That's
all right, sure. Either, I guess you're right, it would be the passive or a middle. Any other questions on three? All right, four. Read that for us. Class. Papa. Taste.
Arches. Ekumen.
What's your pronunciation?
Ekumen.
Ekumen. All right, good. Ekumen. Good.
Sus.
Prophetas. Get your little trill in that row. All right. Around the rough and the rugged dock, the ragged basketball ran, remember? Practice on that. All right. What do we have on number four?
From the beginning.
All right. From the beginning. Akuamen.
We were hearing
imperfect.
The prophets.
Why wouldn't it be the prophets were hearing us? Why not?
Because the hearing is we.
The hearing is we, and why else?
Because the prophetas is in the accusative.
Accusative plural, so they have to be receiving the action instead of giving the action. See, so all these different ways of protecting who's what and how to interpret, so they're all very neatly arranged, aren't they, in Greek? You got a question for?
Is that they or we?
We are here, Steve.
Could it also be they?
No. See, that would be different. See,
Kuoman
would be we. Ekusan, see? Would be, would not Ekusan? That's it for second errors. Ekuoman, Ekuan. Ekuan, wouldn't it be? Ekuan. Ekuan. Is that correct?
That would be they were, wouldn't it? Or
yeah.
I was.
Let me see. Let me just see here. Let me get this. Amatha. Let me get the regular imperfect Amatha, but we want the Amen. The source of the imperfect Ekuosi, I guess. Ekuosi. Ekuosi, wouldn't it be? Ekuosi. Well, why don't we look at that chart? That'd be the easiest way to do it. It's all right there. Ekuosi. Without having to go too far afield. Ekuomen. Ekuon. Ekuon. There it is. Ekuon. Yeah. That would be it for the improvement. Ekuomen. Ekuon. I was right in the first place there. All right. I lost my page, so we're in what page now?
55.
Looking back things. All right, any other questions on 4? All right, let's go to 5. Let's read that, please.
Manate.
Tasts. Ag. Careful. Two gammas together. First one is like an ng. All right. Epangelias. All right, Epangelias. Go ahead.
Apo.
To good you, all right. So there we have what?
They were receiving.
No, they weren't receiving in the past, because that's the present. See, there's no augment.
You are receiving.
You are receiving.
The promises
from the Lord. All right, very good. Why is it the promises were being received by the Lord?
The promises are in the accusative.
In the accusative, so it couldn't be the subject, it had to be the object. All right, that's good. All right, and of course, it's this second person plural, Lambanath, instead of the third person, that you'd have to have the other way. All right, number 6. Read that, please.
Egon.
Egon. Auton. Neon. Kios. And you see Neonias, Neon up there. See up there, paragraph 111, the new, Neonias, so on. That's part of what we need to learn for this particular lesson, so that's why they have it up there, I guess. So what does that translate into? We didn't finish it, did we? Or did we? Actes oikias. All right, we got it. Hagon?
They were leading.
All right, they were leading from Hago.
The youth.
The young man from the house. They were leading the youth from the house. Any questions?
Could be I also, right?
Could be I. I was leading the youth, yes. I was leading the youth from the house, the young man from the house. Any questions on six?
Not that young man in the house.
Yes. I guess it is. Well, that's up there, yeah. There's one of them, probably a youth. They did speak it as part of a character. All right, if not, we'll go to the second half. They were remaining in the house. We have been descended upon by our two little girls, granddaughters, all right. They were remaining in the house is what? Remain is meno.
Meno.
Isn't it? Menon. They were remaining. Menon. And you can have oikia as the house, or oikos. Oikia is what we learned in this lesson, though. And te oikia. Kia, and te oikia, right?
Why would it be oikia?
Oikos, oikia. So oikia. And te oikia with a yod substitute, right? And te oikia with a yod substitute, right? See, it would be just like cardia. See over here on page 52, right here? Cardia.
How do we know it's not like glossa?
Well, because it doesn't have an ia. Yeah, see, the ia, your subscript, it takes it out of the glossa variety.
Okay.
See?
You've got to remember a lot of rules to know how.
That's true. Well, and also, neas is right here close by. And it's neas variety, see? You don't really know unless you look the thing up, you know what I mean? But that's you can pretty well assume neania, oikia, oikos, oikia, it's similar to neania, see? And the cardia, and aletheia, page 52. It's the regular substantives of the first declension with nominatives in alpha, preceded by epsilon, iota, or rho. See, that's a class. Any other question on that? Ente oikia. They were remaining? Emenon. Anteokia. All right. Number two, righteousness and love remain in the world. Righteousness is dekaiasune, he dekaiasune, righteousness. And love?
Kai.
Agape. Hei agape, if you wish, or haphilos, whatever it may be. Remain is the meno, so what would you have here?
Menusi.
Menusi, they remain in the world. Hakosmos is the world, so what is in the world?
Entokosmo.
Entokosmo, the order subscript now. Any questions on that one? Hekayasune, Hekayasune, Kai, Heagape, Menusi, Entokosmo. Number three, the hour of the Lord is announced.
Hekora,
the hour of the Lord. Hokudios is Lord. Of the Lord is Tukuriu is announced. Announced is angelo or apangelo.
No, isn't it
Keruso? Keruso, if you wish, yeah. Angelo is also announced, but if we learn Keruso, all right. Keruso is announced, which is a passive, isn't it? Have we learned the present passive?
Mm-hmm.
Kerus.
Kerusitai,
that's right, is announced. There it is. Luetai, right here, see, present passive, kerusetai. Say kerusetai. That's right. Perfect. All right, any questions on the
present passive?
Yes, present passive. It is announced. You see, it's been announced. It is announced. See, it's not announcing itself. It's not announcing, but it is announced. I think. Now, let me see. Let me just to get the logic on that. Announced is a passive. No, announced, but the
it's being announced.
It's announced. Being it's like it's being announced in that sense. Yeah. That's what it means. It's being announced. I think that's the sense of it. So we want kerusetai. All right, any question on that? He hora tu kuriu kerusetai. All right, number four. The prophets are teaching the disciples in parables. It's what? Prophets?
Well, prophetes.
Aha, but...
Oh, hoi.
Hoi.
Prophetai.
Tai, all right? One or the other? That's hoi prophetai. The prophets are teaching. The verb to teach is didasko. So they are teaching. Didaskusi. Didaskusi. They are teaching the disciples and the accusative. Oma de tes is the disciples. So plural of the after prophetes. What's the article?
Tas mathetas.
No, tus mathetas. If it's like prophetes, then I think that it is. It's tus mathetas. In other words, it's
mathetas.
It would not be the name. It would be a runner. Tus mathetas.
Okay.
Ha mathetes. And it's ha prophetes, and it's the same thing. It would be tus prophetas. Mathetas. 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 All right. The disciples in parables. Ha. Hey, parabole is parable, so in tais parabolais, right? In tais parabolais. Any questions on four? All right, hoi prophetai, tedas kusti, tus mathetas, and tais parabolais. The five, the promises that were spoken from the beginning. Promises, epangalia, he epangalia. So plural would be
epangalia.
Oi epangaliae, right? Hi, rather, epangaliae. Were spoken, that's passive, isn't it? To speak is lego. So were spoken would be passive. And it's imperfect, isn't it? Imperfect passive. So. Elegonta, right? We're spoken. We're being spoken. Elegonta. For Newton. Elegonta. We're being spoken, or we're spoken, from the beginning.
Apo.
Apo. Beginning is arche.
Tes arche.
Apo tes arche. Any questions on that? Five. I count them up. The base on that is 77 points.
73.
All right, 73. That's 94.8 to 95%. It'd be 77 altogether.
What's 71?
All right, we'll try 71. That equals 92%. Any other numbers?
92 for 71. I'm okay.
Okay. You have need of nothing. Like Laodicea.
Nope.
Not like the Laodicea. Okay.
You got 57 seconds of red ink here.
That's right. I see. That's too bad. Now, we again have strayed from the straight and narrow, and we have a lot of time. Maybe next week. Let's see if we can plan on it and get another 3 or 4 or 5 lines from the Gospel of John and see what we can do with it. The last time we read was October the 25th of this year. October, November, that's a month ago. Okay, if you're finished with him, after you've seen him, bring him back and we'll put them in here. So our assignment is clear for next week. We have a number of things, and no one has heard. You haven't heard from Lou at all.
No, I haven't heard from him.
Well, maybe he's quietly.
He was supposed to
dropping out there. Have you audited
Sunday? No, Sunday he was going to sit down with me sometime and get some tests out of the way.
Yeah, he's been saying that for quite a while. Yeah, let's see.
I think if I had to travel 2 hours and 20 minutes for a Greek class, I'd have second thoughts.
Doesn't he really come out?
Yeah.
2 hours. Where's he been? He's had a lot of work at work. Yeah. He's in the business with his dad.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure. Sick, so, you know, when he's evidently in the place where his production is what's producing profit.
Oh,
so a lot of times he has to stay there late. But I kind of understand why he can get the thing done. So he's not even taking Bible Institute for credit. But evidently it's work and
there's
been a lot of sickness in his family and things like that.
Well, the old Spanish proverb is true. Remember that one? El termina, el camino. De por y por termina a la casa de nunca. El camino, the way. De por y por, by and by, termina, ends a la casa de nunca, at the house of never. The road of by and by leads, terminates at the house of never. And you know, when you put things off, it really is, it's almost an ever situation. Probably my fault. If I take a stand and say, now, if you gentlemen don't make up your things within 1 week, 2 weeks, X number of weeks, just take zeros and start from there fresh. Now, maybe that would have a good feel. I don't know. And then you'd start in the next and you forget about it. You just take your zeros and get your averages and average with a D or a C or whatever, but at least you wouldn't be always handicapped by that. Maybe that's the kind of language. I think you have to do that, really. You have to. If you don't happen to get a spot...
Is he still in the game in terms of absences?
I think, this may have hooked him this time. I don't know. What is our last...
I think we said 25%.
25%. Is that our last? I know we had an edict from the school.
No, there's only 16...
16 weeks.
Four absences. Four absences would do it. I think he's been on four times.
Yeah, I think you're right. One, yes.
Yeah,
two.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's true. So anyway, but as I say, you may go into the audit category, which means... but anyway.
Well, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
No, I think it'd be good. I think it'd help us.
To the seminar, he could just step right
in. Step right in, it'd be a little easier, move in a little bit easier for him, see. All right, we want to please close in a word of prayer as the Lord would lead you, and we'll be adjourned.
Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to study this language. We thank you for all the blessings you do give us for our salvation. We thank you, Lord, for everything, Lord, that is good from you. And we just pray you'll be with us this week as we study. We pray that you'll cause us to do all things for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know, gentlemen, as I was listening to the vocabulary and reading it and listening to those tapes in the car and the Hebrew and so on, I thought to myself, thought came to me that I never thought about before. Why am I taking all the time looking at those words, listening to those words? And I thought to myself, these words, the Hebrew, are the very words of God. The very precise words that God gave to us to communicate His truth, right? Although there are words used in other Hebrew lessons, but I mean, these particular words and these in the scriptures, these are the words of God. The same in the Greek.
What
every single word, you know, is God's word. These words are one of the vocabulary words. They're God's words. We're hearing the words of God in that language He gave them to us, and to mean and really know what the Word of God is teaching us, we've got to know His words. It's interesting, isn't it?
What words do you have on that tape?
We have from 50 to 5,000. Every verb in the Hebrew Bible and every noun in
the
Hebrew Bible. From 50 to 5,000.
I do.
And those are right on the tape.
How many tapes is that?
It's just two tapes. It's only one, 2 hours and maybe 45 minutes the other. That's it. And over and over and over.
I should have taken that to Chicago with me. Of course, I took something good anyway. Because, you get an AM/FM radio in your car, and you figure, now when I go on a long trip, I'll have some nice...